So death and fear, first of all. Well, I think it is interesting that Viveka and Kula Prabha also talked quite a lot about fear. And it does seem to me that when we meditate, we are, all of us, going to, at one time or another, have to experience and face fear. And I think we can ask ourselves often, is it fear that's stopping us going deeper? Certainly in my own experience, often when I back off into distraction, or don't meditate at all, or find ways of avoiding my experience, it is fear at root that is the problem. And I think it's a totally universal human experience, fear. I think Bhante said that all fear is fear of death, but I haven't been able to find a quote. People are nodding, so that's good. All fear is fear of death. So obviously it's very related to this topic of death. And I was thinking even the words sound similar, don't they? Fear and death is sort of got the same quality to them. So it is good to just look at it quite simply, I think. Some of this is quite basic. I'm going to state the obvious, but I don't think there's any harm in that. So it is good to ask ourselves, why are we so afraid of death and letting go? What is it that's triggering this fear? And I think there's lots of things, but partly it's the sheer incomprehensibility of it. It's so beyond the rational mind, going into the unknown. It's not something we can think through or think about, because if we did that, it wouldn't be the unknown anymore. So the very nature of it confounds the rational mind. And I think this is true of actual physical death, or the death in the moment, the journey into the void, which is at the heart of our practice. And it's interesting that physical death is one of the few things in life that is certain. It's the one thing we've all got in common, and yet paradoxically it's shot through with uncertainty and the unknown. And so we're frightened because we just don't understand it in that level. So I just thought I'd tell you about my first encounter with death, with physical death of a loved one. I was about 20, which I think is extraordinary. At what time in history can you get to be 20 and not have experienced much death in your life? I think that's interesting in the age that we're living in the modern world, where we're quite protected from death. So I'd managed to get to 20 without having any members of my family die. And my granny had died. She was aged 94, this fantastic old New Zealand matriarch in her house by the sea. Didn't mess with my nanny. And my father invited me and my twin sister to go to her house where her body was lying in her bed. And he wanted us to see her body and he wanted us to say our goodbyes. And I feel very grateful to my dad for knowing that that would be a good thing for us to do, not just to be at a funeral with her body in a coffin. And again, I've got this whole scene embedded in my memory. She had this amazing house, one of these colonial houses, they're all bungalows in New Zealand, but really big and sprawling, and it was just over the road from the sea. So there were all these sand hills across the road, and you'd go across the house and across the road, and there was this house, and it had a porch, a veranda that was always full of sand, because the sand always blew in, and these windows that were always really salt stained. And then the house was quite dark, lots of oak panelling. And her bedroom always seemed particularly mysterious, Nanny's bedroom, with these sort of silver brushes on the bedside table, you know, old-fashioned things that people had. And I remember standing on the right side of her head and looking down at her body and the smell of the room, you know, all these evocative things in the memory. And it just seemed completely, completely foreign. You know, where had my nanny gone? So she was lying there and it was the shell of her body, but I knew it wasn't my nanny anymore. But of course that then raises the immediate question, well, who was my nanny? If this body isn't my nanny, then what makes a person who they are when they're alive? And I remember standing with the tears streaming down my face, just thinking, where's my nanny gone? You know, where? What is it that makes a person alive? And I stood there for a while and I just was trying to figure this out, and then eventually I realised, oh, what it was is it was the light in her eyes that had made her my nanny. It was the light in her eyes that had made her alive and made her this person that I really loved. So of course this may raise another question, well, what is the light in the eyes in a person that makes them alive? And actually, that's one of the questions that got me on a spiritual path. I wasn't a Buddhist then. And I remember thinking, I've got to find out what it is that's the light in a person's eyes. And I haven't answered that question really yet. I'm still working on it.